Hallelujah, Jesus. And for all the rest of us, if you have your Bibles, we'll turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 4. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4, and we'll begin reading at verse number 1. The Bible said, "So I returned, and I considered all of the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressor, on the side of their oppressors, there was power, but they had no comforter. Wherefore, I praise the dead which are already dead more than the living which are yet alive. Yea, better is he than both they which had not been, who hath not seen the evil work that is done under the sun." Amen. And I wished I had the English Standard Version to read unto you so that you could understand that a little bit better. But what the preacher is saying here today, and he's saying, I looked and I considered all of the oppressions that were done under the sun. And I looked at all of those that was oppressed, and I saw all the tears that they shed. And he said they had no comforter. And he said, but on the side of the oppressors, those that were doing the oppressing, he said there was power that the oppressors had. They had a power. And he said, but still there was no comforter. And he said, I looked beyond and into the cemetery, and I saw the dead that was there. And I thought, what better place that they're in that they don't have to go through this that we're going through today. I thought to myself, it's better to be in that cemetery over there dead than to have to face the oppression that these people are going through right now. He said, and then I looked and I said, better is he, the one that's in the grave over there, better is him than the ones that are living and the ones that are yet to be born. And he said, who hath not seen this evil work that is done under the sun? And I simply want to preach for just a few minutes of time here tonight. Does one really live when living in oppression? Amen. Do you really live when you're living under oppression? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we love you today and we thank you, Jesus, for your word. Your word is so rich. It is so full. Your word is so good to us, God. I pray, O Lord Jesus, that you would minister and that you would move through this house. God, you know every situation. You know every dilemma. You know everything that is going on behind closed doors. You know everything that happens, God, behind the hidden walls of the mind, deep inside the hearts of souls of men today. And your word has come, Lord Jesus, to pierce aside, asunder of soul and spirit. Your word has come to get down to where we live in today. And I pray, Jesus, that the anointing of the Holy Ghost would help this to happen today. Help us, God, as we speak. Help us, Lord, as we hear. Help us, God, when we respond unto you, God. And we will give you the praise in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you, and you may be seated. Amen. I think that it is very, very important that we understand and we know our enemy. I do not believe in giving him more credit than he deserves. I don't believe in magnifying any of his abilities. He does have abilities, but we always must understand and stand upon the foundation that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. But it would be ignorant of us to sit back and to not understand who our enemy is. When countries go to war, they just don't flippantly decide that that's what they're going to do. And otherwise, North Korea probably would have already tried to bomb us. But because they understand who we are, they just rattle the sabers over there And as soon as we kind of stand up a little bit, they sit right down because they understand who the enemy is. And it's thus with us as well. We understand our enemies. And so the Bible teaches us that what man would go to war except that he would first count the cost. In other words, to understand what he's going up against. And if he counts it and deems it worthy of doing, then he will go to war. And so we've got to understand, be able to understand our enemy as much as possible. We do know that the Bible teaches us that he is the most subtle beast of the field. And the Bible also teaches us that as a roaring lion, he roameth about seeking whom he may devour. But we take a look at these things, and the Bible also teaches us that we ought to not be ignorant of his devices, lest that he would be able to get the advantage over us. And so we are cognizant of it. We make sure that we understand. And I kind of hate to say it like this, but we give credit to where credit is due. He does have abilities. He does have a power. But Jesus said that he would give us power over all the power of the enemy. Praise God. And so just to say, well, Satan has no power and Satan can't do this and can't do that, I understand the premise of it. I understand that that is right, and understand that he can't overcome us unless we allow him to, unless we lay down our guard and we stop fighting. Amen. And that is the general consensus of it, is that if we stop fighting, if we stop resisting the devil, then he is going to overcome us. And so we've got to continually resist the enemy. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 And so I just want to take a little bit of time here today to kind of accentuate or to bring out a few things of who our enemy is. We must never forget that we are in a spiritual battle. We are that this is a spiritual warfare. And we understand and know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the casting down of strongholds. This is not a physical battle. Amen. You're never going to find the enemy and necessarily give him a black eye in a physical sense. If you do find the enemy and give him a black eye in a physical sense, he probably beat you because you just lost your temper. And you need to apologize to the one that you just decked. But it is a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle, and we must always understand that. A large percentage of backsliders have tried for extended period of times to overcome the devil by physical goods, by physical ways. And they understand that they need to do good. And most of them understand that there are things that they should abide by because they know the ways of the church. They know the ways of God. And so they come in and they think, well, I'm just going to line up. And they feel that in just simply lining up that they are going to be victorious. And that is not the case. That's not the case. You've got to be more than just lined up by a physical means. You've got to be lined up on a spiritual means as well. And if you'll take care of the spirit on the inside, it'll take care, amen, of everything that's on the outside as well. Amen. And when you begin to see things on the outside that don't reflect the word of God, that shows that there's a problem on the inside. So if things begin to appear on the outside that are contrary to the word of God, then we understand and recognize that there is a problem on the inside. There's pride on the inside, resentment on the inside, anger and anguish and bitterness and all of these things on the inside that may not be reflected on the outside as in that, but they begin to show themselves on the outside. Amen. And so we're going to keep our inside correct, and in doing so, it ought to help us to be able to keep the outside correct as well. Praise God. Amen. You're not going to be successful living for God by just simply dressing the part. You've got to make sure that you are doing your part in reading the Word of God. You've got to ingest the daily bread, that bread of life. Amen. You've got to be disciplined enough to make yourself to pray. Praise God. I believe that we all know that we need to pray. Amen. But it's another thing. thing to make ourselves pray. Amen. We could go into this book of Ecclesiastes, and we could see there, I believe it's in chapter number 3, where there is a time and a season for everything. But you understand as you read through that there was no time for God. He did not say that there was a time for God. Amen. And because there is no time for God that just happens. If there's time for God, it's because you made it happen. And that's what we've got to do. Amen. You've got to make these things happen in order to live a successful life over the enemy. Praise God. You've got to discipline yourself to fast. Amen. We still believe in fasting. Praise God. We still believe in praying. We still believe in reading our Bibles. Amen. I had a young man in Sunday school class tell me one time, he said, Brother Cowan, he said, I just can't fast. I said, Davey, I said, why? Why can't you fast? He said, I just get too hungry. Amen. I know the feeling. Amen. But you got to put that old flesh under subjection. You got to make it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Amen. Paul lists 4 distinct satanic orders against in whom we wrestle in our spiritual warfare. And he began to talk about principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness or spiritual wickedness in high places. And whereas we recognize these things, let me just state that these things here are pretty much beyond the things that we on an individual basis are going to fight. There will be times that we will feel the pressure of these things. But we're not going to necessarily fight against these things, and I'll explain it to you here right now. In the Bible, this teaches the principalities. It teaches us it's that it is the beginning. It is the beginner, the first, the rule. Amen. The principalities are the chief rulers or the magistrates. It's the high-ranking governing authorities who are under Satan's control. Amen. So it's not necessarily the president of the United States, but it's those generals. Amen. That all of those terrorists are never going to face. But they're going to feel the pressure of his calls and his dictates and mandates. And then it talked about the powers, or the Greek word used there is the exousia, which is the delegated authority. And so the principalities are delegating authority to carry forth actions and plans that are there. And then there is the rulers of the darkness of this world. And so these are world rulers and princes of the age. And then it goes on to talk about spiritual wickedness in high places, and the word high places holds the connotation of heavenly spiritual places. And I would have to liken this to when Daniel was praying, and when the angel broke through and came to him, he said, Daniel, God heard your prayer the first day, but there have been war in the heavens. Amen. That spiritual wickedness in the heavens up there. There has been war in that place. And so the chances are is that none of us will really ever come in contact with any of these orders, though we will definitely feel the oppression of them all. And I'm not stating that you may not come against these, but I'm just hear me out today, that there are other things and there are other spirits, amen, that are set, that are given the mandate and the authority to come against you individually on a day-by-day basis. Lesser ranks of these demonic ranks, we would see that there are oftentimes that we see or we hear of people that are possessed with a devil. And these people, they have no real control over their actions or to a great extent when they are riled up. You've probably heard them at times when they begin to speak out. They don't speak in their tone of voice. It's not their voice, but it's a very deep, it's a rough voice. I have heard ladies that have petite voices. All of a sudden something very low and growling begins to come out of them, and we know that is not of them. And so we see that the demoniac, that he was possessed with legion of devils, and they had control over him to influence him and to cause and to strike fear in others. We could talk about the cast out demons, of how that they lose their rank, their possession, their respect, their territory, because that they have lost their territory. And when an unclean spirit is gone, and out to the man and walking through dry places, seeking rest, finding none. He goes and returns to that place because he has lost his authority. He has lost his rank, and he is trying to get that back. And so he brings others with him to be able to take over that house. We could talk about spirits of infirmity. The Bible teaches us about these. And these are ones that just attack an individual's health. We could go to the Bible. We could talk about how that the dumb spoke after the spirit of infirmity was cast out. Others were delivered from seizures or epilepsy. There was a woman that was bowed over with a great spirit of infirmity, and the Bible said that she was delivered and that she was healed. Amen. I'll never forget one time that I had a man that was in the hospital for a long extended period of time, and every time we went and we prayed with him, and God would heal him, amen, of whatever it was. And he had fever and infection. We would pray for him and God would heal him, and something else would crop up, and then it would go back to fever, and it was just one thing after another, back and forth. And so I got the phone call one day that they were in the process. He had been in a nursing home. He had gotten out of the hospital, been put in some type of rehabilitation center, but they transferred him back into the emergency room. And on the way to the emergency room, I began to pray and ask God, what is it, amen, that is not it? God, you're healing this man, but there is something that is wrong here. And the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, it's a spirit of infirmity. And this man was on his deathbed, and we really, really thought that we were going to lose him. And I honestly had no hope that he was going to live. All I had was just some faith that God would touch him, and if it was the will of God, that God would raise him up. He was in the church doing well. And so I went in there to him, and I told him, I said, brother, I said, I'm going to pray for you. And I said, we're going to come against a spirit of infirmity, for that's what's got a hold of you right now. I said, it's been this spirit, it's been that, it's been this, it's been that, and all along these things. I said, well, we're going to pray over it today, and we're going to get away from the effect of it. We're going to get to the cause of it. Amen. We're going to pray. And he said, all right. And so we began to pray for him and his weak and feeble condition. And just 2 days prior to that, I had told his wife, I said, if you don't get him out of this place, he'll be dead. And so she had gotten him out of this one place into another, and he went straight into an emergency room from there. And so they were trying to wheel him out as I'm praying for him. And so finally, we finished praying. I told him, I said, I'm going to come back to see you later tonight after church. I went back that night to see him, and I eased into his room and looked in there, and there he was, and he was cognizant and awakened in his bed. And I spoke to him, and he seemed to be doing very well. I told him, I said, I'll come see you tomorrow. And so I went back to the house, went to bed, got up the next morning, went in, and gently knocked on the door and kind of opened it and looked in. And this man that was almost dead 2 days prior was sitting in the chair beside the bed eating a full breakfast. Amen. And it was just a spirit of infirmity, amen, that had disguised itself. And so we were praying, amen, for healing while there was a spirit of infirmity that was there just poking from different areas. Praise God. And that's the way that the enemy is. The enemy is not fair. Amen. He doesn't fight fair. And he'll do whatever it takes to try to get you. We could talk about spirits of possession, but there's also spirits of oppression. And that's what we're really talking about tonight, just spirits of oppression. And there's another echelon of demonic activity, and Paul lets us know, and he calls it buffeting spirits. He said that lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And that word buffet just simply means to rap or to strike, to hit with a clenched fist and hands. And so it's obvious that the messenger had access to Paul's mind and to his emotions. And so on a daily basis, that's all that the Spirit was given the authority to do. He was just simply told, he said, you see that man right there? Yes, yes, yes. This is what you're going to do. I just want you to go down there, and I just want you to keep working him over. I just want you to slap him upside the head every once in a while. I just want you to sucker punch him. Amen. I just want you to, you know, hit a low blow. I just want you to mess with him. That's all. I don't want you to trash talk him. That's all I want you to do. I don't want you to try to tempt him. I just want you to wear him down. That's all I want you to do. Every time that he feels a little bit comfortable, I just want you to slap him upside the head. Amen. I want you to get into his mind. I want you to play mind games with him. I want you to get in that he begins to question things. Amen. That his mind. And Paul teaches us this when he said, I find another law in my mind, warring against the law of God. And so he said, I know that which is right, but here I am thinking, amen, I'm doing that which I'm not supposed to do, and the things which I'm not supposed to do, or amen, the things which I would refrain from, I'm doing the things that, amen, he goes through all this, and he said, I'm just carnal, amen, amen. And he teaches us this, that there's a spirit that is just continually just working him over, and he said, I pray to God that God deliver me from this a thorn that is in my flesh. And I know that there's a lot of people that want to try to reason it out and say, well, you know, it could have been not so good eyesight. It could have been whatever. And they try to put it there. In my opinion, the Bible teaches us, it tells us right there. He said, deliver me from this thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. There was something in Paul's life that he just could not get past. Amen. I don't believe he was looking at failing or walking away from God, but this just teaches us that it doesn't matter who you are in life, that there are spirits that are sent to your doorstep, amen, to your heart's door, amen. They're not there to tempt you with alcohol. They're not there to tempt you with drugs. They're not there for anything else like that. They're just there to wear down the saints of the Most High. Amen. That's why it's important when you come to church that you get in and you get the rest that you need. As in Isaiah 28, when he said, and this is the rest which causeth the weary to rest. He said, with a stammering lip and another tongue will I speak to my people. Hey, church, it's important to get in the Holy Ghost every time you come to church. If you haven't spoken tongues in a while, amen, today is your day. You need to come to an altar and refresh yourself and renew yourself in the Holy Ghost. And let God wash some of those things, amen, that confusion and that anguish out of your life. Praise God. Amen. These are the spirits of oppression, as Daniel said, that they have just simply come to wear out the saints of the Most High. Amen. I want you to know, let me just say it to you like this. Back when I was in school, I believe it was back in 91, if I remember correctly, 92, 93, somewhere in there, they had that war, that skirmish, that little, whatever you want to call it, that blip on the screen that they call Desert Storm. And you know what happened? Amen. I'm going to tell you what happened. The United States stood back from 100 miles away and we just bombed them. And just bombed them and bombed them and bombed them and bombed them. And we wore them down. And then finally we said, ground troops, go in. And when the ground troops came in, what did they do? They just got on their knees and said, just take us. We're done. There's no shots fired. That is the enemy of oppression. That is the enemy of that buffeting spirit. He just continues to hit you, hammer you, working you down, warring against your mind, causing confusion, causing question, causing bitterness, causing anguish. Amen. Just trying to get you riled up with somebody. Amen. All these other things just wearing you down, feeling like you can't get any rest at all. And then all of a sudden, here comes another devil. Amen. And he's the one that brings in, amen, the temptations. He's the one, amen, that comes in and says, you know what, it'll be okay. You just miss church for a while. It'll be all right. Amen. It's because somebody has already softened you up. Praise God. Don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. Stand strong against it. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against it. You got to get under the banner. You got to get with God. You got to find a place of rest and peace in the Holy Ghost. And let the Lord be a light unto you in your darkened hours. Hallelujah. You got to get up and say, I refuse to sit in darkness. I refuse to sit down. I refuse to take a beating. Devil, I'm not going to sit here and let you work on my mind like that. I'm getting to an altar. I'm getting to the house of God. I'm going to lift my voice in praise. I'm going to magnify God. But I refuse to live under a spirit of oppression. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Oppression is a tactic that the enemy successfully uses way too often. Oppression just simply means the state of being subject to unjust treatment or control, mental pressure or distress. And this tactic is almost as old as time itself. For very seldom do we see an overpowering of God's people. It just does not happen. The devil does not come in and overpower God's people. But what we see is this simple tactic. That first there is a mental breakdown that leads to the overpowering. There's division. There's insecurities. There is anger. There just anything from without and within. That's what Paul said. He said, I'm fighting all of these things. He said, there's the pressure on the outside and there's the pressure on the inside. Amen. He said, I'm in perils of robbers, perils of all these other. He said, I've also been in perils of my own countrymen, of my own brethren. Hallelujah. And these things ought not to be so. But I'm telling you, amen, it's because somebody fails to recognize the enemy slipping in. As a matter of fact, there are things that we can neglect doing so that God gives us over to our oppressors. We can look at the curses of disobedience in Deuteronomy 28, and we can see that when we neglect doing the things of God, the Bible says that God gives us over to our oppressors. Amen. Let me just go ahead and clarify this while I'm here. When you get into the book of Deuteronomy 28, amen, you will see that the subject here, in all reality, the subject is tithing. Amen. Because in Deuteronomy 26, he talks to them and he said that you got to bring the basket, amen, before the Lord. That you got to bring the basket unto the priest, and that there would be a wave offering. That they would take the basket and that they would lift it up, and they would remember when they were under the oppressors, amen, the oppression of Egypt. And then he goes on into chapters 28, and he begins to talk about the blessings. That if you pay your tithe, then there's going to be all of these blessings that's going to come upon you. He said, but when you don't pay your tithe, amen, he's calling it the first fruit here. He said, when you don't pay your tithe, this is what he says in Deuteronomy 28. And thou shalt grope at noonday, as the blind gropeth in darkness. And thou shalt not prosper in any of thy ways. And thou shalt only be oppressed and spoiled evermore. And no man shall save you. In a few verses later, in verse number 33, he said that the fruit of the land and all of thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt only be oppressed and crushed always. Amen. So don't be blaming the devil, amen, concerning the oppression that you're under if you're not taking care of the things that you need to take care of. Because when you don't do as God would have you to do, he turns them over to the oppressors. And you may be able to stand back and say, preacher, I'm making all of my bills, I'm living in a good way, amen, I so feel sorry for you, because the devil has lied to you and you've ate it up, amen. But if you would begin to be obedient to the things of God and to the ways of God, I will show you an economy that will not fail. I will show you God's economy that'll bless you. Amen. He said, I'll bless you when you come in and I'll bless you when you go out. He said, you're not just going to work for somebody. You're going to be the one that's given the work. He said, you're going to be the head and not the tail. He said, I'm going to bless your basket. I'm going to bless everything that you do. And that's good. But he said, if you don't, I also know how to turn off the rain of heaven. I also know how to turn off the dew of the ground. I also know how to give you back unto the oppressors. Amen, amen, amen. That's not my word, that's God's word. Praise God. If you got a problem with tithing, you don't have a problem with me, you have a problem with God. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. And throughout all the Bible, amen, this concept is taught throughout the Bible of the oppressors. We could go to the children of Israel, and we could see that because of the oppression, Because of the oppression, they began to cry out to God for a deliverer. And when they cried out to God for that deliverer, the Bible teaches us that the deliverer came through. Amen. The deliverer came to deliver them out from under their oppression. Amen. And when they came out from under that oppression, they used the principle of tithing to remember where God brought them from. I was talking with a preacher that I'm very, very close to one time. And he told me, he said, Brother Cowan, he said, listen to me. He said, when I came to God, I got off cheap. He said, I got off cheap when I came to God. Amen. He said, because all God was requiring was a 10% tithe and some offering. He said, but I was given to the movie theaters. He said, I had a $600 a month bill down at the bar. Amen. At the end of every month. Amen. He said, I figured it out and I'm paying near 50% under the devil. He said, when I came to God, I got off cheap. He said, and not only did I get off cheap, he said, God blessed everything that I did. He said, everything that I have now is because of God. Amen. I'm telling you, it's a life to live. Amen. When you follow the principles of God. Amen. The Bible said that he will rebuke the devourer for your sake. You don't have to worry about standing up and saying, hey man, I'll rebuke you, devil. You got the power to do it, but there's one that's in heaven that when you do it as he would say, he just stands up and says, all right, devil, that's enough. Bug off. Bug off. Hallelujah. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. If you're feeling a little cold and a little indifferent, if you're feeling like the devil's getting the best of you, draw nigh to God. Jump up in his lap. Get close to him and he will shelter you in the time of need. The name of the Lord is a strong tower that the righteous can run into and they are safe.
Praise God. Amen, amen. Let me hurry along. And so the children of Israel, amen, got out of that oppression, but they were there in the oppression. The book of Judges, chapter number 4, we can read of where Sisera mightily oppressed the children of Israel for some 20 years. Judges 6, Gideon, amen, was there, and they were sorely oppressed by the Midianites, causing them to flee into the mountains, the dens, and the caves, hiding all of their crops. But the Midianites would come and they would come against them and destroy them and steal their crops and their harvest. The Bible said, and Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites living under oppression. Judges 16, amen, we see a man by the name of Samson, and we know that he fell, and the Bible says that it came to pass that when Delilah pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her his heart. Amen. Just send this oppression. The oppression. Samson, if you really love me. Samson, if you really love me. Samson, you're lying to me. Samson, if you really love me. Samson, listen to me. Samson, you don't love me, Samson. Samson, if you really love me, you'll do this. You'll do this. Oppression. Oppression. Amen. We find the children of Israel hiding behind bushes while a man stood out and just simply said, send me a man to fight. And the oppression that was over the children of Israel and caused them to shudder and to fear. What kind of hope? What kind of joy? What kind of fun is it to live that type of lifestyle? We could read that Ben-Hadad, the king of Israel, or the king of Syria, besieged Samaria, and there was great famine in the land. And the Bible said it like this, until a donkey's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and a fourth part of a cab of dove's dung was sold for 5 pieces of silver. Amen. Brother, you want to talk about oppression? When you're willing to pay silver prices, amen, for dove's dung so that you can have something to eat. And you're willing to pay great money for a donkey's head so that you could have something to eat. The oppression was there. Amen. 2 Kings 13. Hazael, the king of Syria, oppressed the children of the Lord. Until there was only 50 horsemen, 10 chariots, and 10,000 footmen in the king's army. 2 Kings chapter number 18. Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, sent forth servants to Jerusalem to strike fear in the hearts of God's people. And this is what he said. Who was there among all the gods of those nations that he had already attacked, that my father utterly destroyed, that they could deliver his people out of my hand, and that your God should be able to deliver you out of my hand? Amen. What Sennacherib was saying is, look, There's other people that have already tried to get victory in this situation, and they haven't. You might as well just lay down, open the doors, and let us come in. Because other people's gods couldn't deliver them, and your God's not going to deliver you out of my hands. And so they sent letters, and the letters went to Hezekiah. And he read the letters, amen, and has said that by this time tomorrow, all these things are going to come to pass. And so we bear in mind that every one of these happenings that I have just read to you here tonight, that they are not actual attacks. There's not an overwhelming power. There is no pure annihilation, but rather it's just tactical maneuvers to wear down the people of God. That's all it was. Just pressure. Just simply pressure. Just pressure putting upon them. A squeeze being put upon them. Questions coming upon them. Just simple pressure. Hallelujah. Amen. Peter gave us an answer when he said, be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Amen. He hasn't been able to overpower. He hasn't been able to do this, but through the spirit of fear and intimidation, amen, he will overwhelm you with this oppression constantly coming against you to wear you down. But Timothy wrote, amen, but Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, but God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Let's love the Lord here today. Come on, let's take some time and love the Lord. Praise the Lord. I feel like in this service this morning that I am fighting a stronghold. I feel like I am coming against a sacred memorial, a sacred part, a sacred point. It's not that we like to live in this place. It's just simple facts. It's simple reality. It's the simple fact that we live in this thing called life. And life isn't fair. Life has its ups and its downs. And it has a whole lot more downs than it has up. The fact of the matter is that we are living in the last days. And the Bible teaches us that if there's one thing the devil does know, is that he has but a short time in order to deceive the very elect. And that he is going to do everything that he can to try his best to overcome. And what better way to overcome than to get in the middle of a church with oppression? And it's not necessarily because that we have aught one against another. But you live in this world just like I live in this world. And you are susceptible to danger. You are susceptible to injury. You are susceptible to hardship. You are susceptible, amen, to these spirits just as I am susceptible to these spirits. You know, we can think that we're big, and we can think that we're strong, and we can think that we can overcome, and we can think, amen, that, you know what, I'm doing really good right now. But just let me tell you from experience, all it takes is one phone call, and all it takes is about 2 to 3 sentences, and it's over. That is how vulnerable we are, whether we really believe that or not, and whether we want to believe that or not. I've been there. I've thought, you know what? I'm doing really good right now. I'm pretty strong. It took one phone call and about 2 or 3 sentences. Amen. And I found myself on the bottom trying to scrape myself up off the floor. I felt like I had been body slammed by a spirit of bitterness. Amen. That snuck in and just took advantage of me and slammed me so hard. Amen. And I had to fight, and I got the point. I said to myself, this is unreal that this can come in and happen. Amen. In such a quick place. And that spirit of oppression. Amen. That spirit. Amen. That was there just constantly wanted to hang out. But you know where that spirit doesn't like to hang out? That's in a prayer room. It's in a prayer room. That's where that spirit doesn't like to hang out. Amen. You can get your Bible and you can open it up and you can start reading it, but you got 1,000 things running through your mind. Amen. And before you know it, you've crossed 2 or 3 chapters and you don't have any idea what you just read. Because your mind isn't there. Your mind, amen, is in the war zone up here. Your mind is fighting the battles of the day. Your mind is fighting that boss, amen, that is oppressing you. Your mind is fighting the bills that are oppressing you. Your mind is fighting that sickness that is oppressing you. Your mind is fighting all of these things that are oppressing you. And what do? You close up your Bible and you set it down and you say, well, I got my Bible reading done today. And yes, we have got our Bible reading done today. Amen. But we have no idea what we've read. Amen. And that devil is saying, well, I succeeded there. That's all he's there for, just to slap you every once in a while. Shove you down every once in a while. Just give you a real hard push every once in a while. And just when you think you've gotten over it, here he comes and he kicks your feet out from under you again. And you fall flat on your face and there it is all over again. But that spirit doesn't like to go find a place to pray. And you've got to take that old flesh down to an altar. And you've got to discipline yourself. And you've got to say, devil, get out of my life in Jesus' name. I got to have some time to talk to the servant, to the King of Kings today. And as you begin to talk to the Lord, and as you begin to pour out your heart unto God, amen, heaven begins to come down upon you. And those spirits of oppression just kind of have to back up and wait. And if you go back and pick them up, you got nobody to blame but yourself. But that's the world that we're living in today. Amen. We're trying to pull people out of the world. We're trying to pull people out of darkness. We're trying to help people here and trying to help people there. Amen. And their lives are totally oppressed. And until they get out from under the life of oppression, there isn't much that can be done. So let's go on here today. And I'm almost done. But let's go on through this. And let's go back to our examples. And we can see that when the children of Israel under oppression began to cry out for God, God came down and delivered them out of the hand of the oppressors. Sisera, the Bible teaches us that he mightily oppressed the children of Israel for 20 years, but Sisera was delivered into the hand of the Lord when Barak began to pursue after him. And when he became the one that was sought instead of the one doing the oppression, he went and he hid himself in a tent. And in hiding himself in a tent, a man by the name of Jael took a spike and he drove it through Sisera's temple, amen, in that tent that night, amen, and his life was over and the oppression was over just like that. There was Gideon that was standing there oppressed by the Midianites, and an angel stood up and said, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon would say, I don't feel very big right now. Here I am hiding behind the wine press. Here I am trying to hide. Here I am trying to get a little bit of food that the Midianites won't get. I don't feel very mighty right now. Amen. He said, look here. I want you to go with me. And Gideon began to walk with, can I say it like this, began to walk with God. And when he got up to that place and he came unto the tents and he listened unto the Midianites, he found out that they were afraid of him. Amen. And he, amen. He said, what do I got to do? Get you some pitchers. Get you some trumpets. And we're going to go break these pitchers and sound out these trumpets. And they went and they did that. And that's all they did. They just stood back and they blew the trumpet and they broke the pitchers and they began to shout unto God. And the Midianites got up and they jumped up and they killed each other and jumped on horses and left. Because somebody started walking with God. David, when he heard the voice that said, send me a man to fight. And the oppression was there that even caused his brothers to shake and to tremble in fear. Amen. David said, I'll fight him. And all it took was for David to go out there with just one little stone. Somebody that looked so big and looked so powerful. All it took was just something so common and something so small. And he took that sling and he took that stone and he let it go and he killed Goliath, and instantly the oppression was over. instantly the oppression was over. Ben-Hadad, amen, Ben-Hadad, we would see that he oppressed the children of Israel, amen, and that there was a great famine in the land with the donkey's head and the dove's dung. But when finally somebody got tired of the oppression, all it took was four nobodies, four lepers that got tired of it, and they marched down to the camp. And in the process of marching down to the camp, God took the PA system and put it to their feet, and it sounded like a mighty army. And that enemy jumped up and they took off running. And there the four lepers had everything that they had. They went back and told, amen, the children of Israel, look, amen, there's food down there. The enemy is gone. And instantly, just like that, the oppression was over. Joash had finally had enough of the oppression of the Syrians. And he went to the man of God. And he said, is there any hope? And the man of God said, take a bow and take some arrows. And he took the bow and he shot it. And he said, take the arrows and smite it. And he smote it. And friend, the oppression was over in a heartbeat. Amen. We could take a look at Hezekiah being surrounded by 160,000 of Sennacherib on the outside. Amen. And all those of the fear that was there. But what did he do? He took the letter into the temple. He went into the temple and he laid down on his face and he put the letter before God. And he laid down and he said, God, you see the letter. You see what's going on. You see the oppression. You see the fear and the anxiety that we all have. God, would you do something about this right now? God said, there's not even an arrow that's going to come into this place. There's not one man that's going to step foot inside those gates. I, the Lord, shall send an angel. I'll kill every one of them. I'm telling you, church, when you get tired of living with the oppressor, all you got to do is stand up and say, God, I have had enough. Oh, come on, let's worship God. There is a spirit of faith that is trying to come into this place right now. There is hope that is trying to pierce your dark mind right now. You're saying, preacher, can it be possible? I'm telling you, all things are possible in those that trust God. You just got to get tired of living under the oppressor. You got to step out of that pew. You got to make your way to an altar. You got to say, God, today is a day I am tired of the oppressors. Hallelujah. The devil hates this type of preaching. He hates this type of response. He hates it. He wants to try to lift himself up and say, I'm bigger than all of this. No, he is not. No, he is not. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! This is when Hezekiah stood up. When 166,000 are on the outside, Hezekiah took a pen, and under the inspiration of God, he wrote like this. Oh, clap your hands, all you people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hezekiah, you've lost your everlasting mind. The last time I looked out there, there's 166,000 out there. We don't feel very triumphant. Amen. Hezekiah said, I didn't say clap if you feel triumphant. He said, clap and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. What is that? It's a voice of faith. It's a voice of faith. I'm coming out of here. I'm coming out of this oppression. I refuse to live in the land of the oppression. I'm coming out. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I give thanks unto you, God. And as you do, the Spirit of God shows up. That's how he could write, God is our refuge, amen, and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Hezekiah said, I used to live in the land of oppression, but when I went forth to God, he heard my prayer, and he took care of the enemy for me. Oh, let's love the Lord. I'm opening up these altars here this day. Hallelujah. You may be saying, preacher, come on, don't drop it. Don't drop it. Don't drop it right now. Come on, it's time to respond. It's time to respond. God's in this house right now. Come on, God's in this place right now. It's time to respond. Hallelujah, it's time to move. Come on, are you tired of living under the oppressors? What kind of life do you really have living under the oppressors? Amen. Tell me how much joy you really have living under the oppression. Tell me what kind of spiritual strength you really have living under the oppression. Hallelujah. You know you hate it just as much as I hate it. Today is your day. Come on, now is the time. Come on, now is the time. Hallelujah. Come on, I'm encouraging everybody to reach out. You don't have to wait for somebody else. You don't have to wait for anything else. Hallelujah, now is your time. If you want out, you can have, you can come out. If you want deliverance, you can have deliverance. Amen. If you want help, you can have help. If you want joy, you can have joy. You just got to get in the presence of God. You just got to open up your mouth and say, God, today I've had enough. I'm tired of living under the oppression. I'm tired of living with no joy. I'm tired of living with no strength. I'm tired of living, amen, in the same old world over and over and over. And just when I feel like I got victory over it, it comes back again. I'm tired of it, God. I'm tired of it, God. Come on, today is your answer. This morning is your answer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Ah, yes. You have no joy. Amen. You feel like you've lost your hope. You feel like you've lost peace. Amen. You don't have a dream anymore. That dream seems to have dried up and died. Amen. And you think that this is all that is left for you. I rebuke that spirit in Jesus' name. This is not all that's left for you. Amen. God's got more for you. But you got to get tired of living under the hand of the oppressors. You got to begin to cry out for deliverance. You got to get up and begin to walk. Come on, it's here. Come on, it's here. Go ahead and reach out. Go ahead and reach out. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.